This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, Louisiana brand hot sauce knows how to turn your platter into a party because flavor favors the bowl, just like Louisiana brand hot sauce, which brings to you our interview with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's it going there?
We're doing well. Hope you are doing good as well. I know last night wasn't the desired. I got in trouble there. I know last night wasn't the desired result, but I was kind of curious your thoughts about the evolution of Wyatt Langford as a hitter, or is it just simply he's a rookie? He's naturally going to change things up as he goes.
Right. Last night was a dud. And, you know, we ran in a really well pitched game. We saw what he did last year to us, but we found a way to win that game. He's a guy that stays up the barrel. I think we only hit two balls hard last night. And Langford, maybe three. Langford hit two. And of course, Dolly hit one there in the ninth. But getting back to Wyatt, you're just seeing the growth of this kid. I mean, he didn't get a full year in minor leagues. Here he is, faced major league coaching. And so it's only going to get better with him. And, we talk about his hitting, and that's just going to get better and better with his knowledge of the pitchers. I mean, he's got bat speed, he's got strength, he's got all that. So, and he's got a good eye at the plate. But it's just his overall game. He's fun to watch. I've said this many times, I'd love watching him, how hard he goes out there on defense or running the bases. He stole two yesterday. He just is a complete baseball player. And I got him in a three hole, and playing around with that a little bit. I could see that being a spot for him at some point. And it doesn't matter to him where he hits. He doesn't ever say a word, whether second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. He just comes out here and plays hard.
I know Mikey B, our co-host, is in Arizona with you guys calling the game for TV. And we talk a lot with him about, the swings for each one of these guys. And we've talked about Wyatt Langford a lot. Was there an adjustment at some point with his swing, or was it more about, for me, I just felt like he got his pro timing down. What is it for you?
Yeah, I think more than anything, he just got his timing. He got a reference of major league pitching, velocity, the breaking balls, and he's, the more you see major league pitching or good fastballs, the more comfortable you're going to get. It just slows things down. When you play college ball the year before, you don't see that on a consistent basis. You may run into it once in a while, whether he faces Skeens or somebody, but every night he's seen really good arms. And that's a big adjustment. We threw a lot at him, including hitting him in the heart of the order. And then he had the injury that set him back a little bit, but it's only getting better with him. He's had a tough year as far as the calls. He doesn't get rewarded for having a good eye at the plate sometimes when they call that ball just off the plate. But he handles that well, too. He's a professional. I mean, he's not a young man. He's a man.
I know a lot of folks are excited about Rocker and DeGrom coming up, and I definitely get that. But with Bradford, Scherzer coming back as well, I'm curious how you guys are going to handle Jack Leiter. Will he continue to start? Will he bounce back and forth from the bullpen? What's the big picture idea there?
Yeah, we're talking about it. We still like to keep Jack going. It could be in the bullpen. They'll have him penciled in right now. I'm kind of waiting to see how pitchers get through it, who may need a day, see how Max is doing. He's going Saturday. Light is going to continue to get some innings and continue to pitch. And so it's going to be up to us to be creative to find that work for him, because I think he's making progress. But we do want to see Kamar throw some here. Now, as we go into next year, we have a better idea about where we're at with this rotation. To me, that's always the priority as you go into season, to have that rotation set.
And this kind of goes into that. I'm curious, when you talked about being creative with Leiter, how important is it to just get him innings and see how he does versus like starting the game innings? Like, how do you differentiate the importance between those two?
With Jack?
Yes.
Yeah. No, you know what? You never know what his role could be, you know, whether starting or similar to what Dunning has done for us. I have another guy that could be a starter or a long man. I'm not saying he's not a guy that could be our guy in the rotation every fifth day. But, you know, you do want to keep options open there. And sometimes that's a great way to develop pitchers. That's the old school way. You know, make them a long guy, get them more and more comfortable. And I think with Jack, I think we have to keep our options open to see what's best for him. But you see him getting better. His last couple starts, they've been better. He's getting, you know, that sense of belonging, as we say. So we'll have this kind of figured out here in the next few days on what we do the rest of the way. I don't see us going to a 7-man, but I see us going to a 6-man. These guys pitching every seventh day because of these days off.
Boach, I've always been kind of curious too with younger pitchers versus older pitchers. Do you have a different approach on gaining their trust, and do you have a different way of like them gaining your trust too?
Well, I think, you know, that's something that has to be earned on both sides. You know, you want them to know that you believe in them and they can trust you, and then you're finding out about them with their work, how they prepare and everything. And as the game goes, how they're handling that, pitching behind or pitching with the lead, things like that. And, you know, this comes with experience, getting better at all these things. But on my side, I just try to let them be who they are. Mike's one to spend a lot of time with them in the bullpen and getting ready for a game and all that. But I want them to know, hey, I'm behind them. And just give you an example. You know, Jack, we tied the game. I let him go back out there in the sixth to start before. You know, where it was a one-run game. He went back out there in the sixth. Now, yeah, you can protect him, whatever. But, you know, I talked to him and said, listen, you know, that's the trust we have in you, and he needs to know that.
Oh, that's great. I like that part of it. You know, earlier in the season, I've always wanted to ask you this throughout the year, too. I just keep forgetting. Jared Sandler had one of your former, I think it was a former player, maybe it was a former guy that coached with you on the pregame show. And he said, you know, the respect is there, but there's also this demand that Bochy has, that you know the demand is there. And when he says that, is that something that you vocalize, or is it just there's a known, you got to do your job? What is the demand that comes from Bruce Bochy?
Well, I think any manager has his demands, and, you know, that's to do things right, play the game right, honor the game with how you go about your business out there, and that's going down the line and playing hard. You know, those things, you know, this game's been going on over 100 years. That's all I ask is go out there and just give us your best effort and do what you can to help us win a ball game. It's pretty simple. And, you know, if that's not there, then that's up to me to and make a change or pull them or whatever it takes. That's, you know, the biggest thing I can talk about, my demands. I'm a big believer in culture with the club, and you know, I want guys to be a good teammate. And that's kind of CY's mantra, too, when I came here. So, anyway, it's all about doing things the right way. That's all I ask. And these guys have been great about it.
One of the players that it feels fits exactly what you would be looking for, Marcus Semien, the Roberto Clemente Award nominee from the Texas Rangers. I'm just curious how prestigious it is to be that club selection, let alone perhaps winning the entire award for the league.
Yeah, you always talk about a player's talent and what they can do on the field and those things, but you know, this is character. This tells you who a person is, and then this is what stays with you your whole life. And so this is very meaningful, and it's a great honor, and Marcus should be honored. It's just, you know, shows what the person is about, what you know, he's just not, it's just not about baseball with him. He wants to, you know, do what he can in the community, help the needy, whatever. And so this, I really think is one of the highest honors that a baseball player can get.
Boj, I'm considering taking a bet up with my co-host Kevin here on
what?
Whether or not Kumar Rocker is going to throw a no-hitter on his first time out. What should I take that or no? Is that a bad bet or how would you go about it?
Well, I guess you have to give me what the odds are. Are they out there yet? But no, I'll get you inside.
300 you know, to you one.
Know, yeah. You know, if I could tell you he'd go nine, then I'd go for it. But he's not going to go nine, so I don't think that's a good one.
What do you kind of, though, expect out of Rocker? Because what he's done in the minors so far has been very impressive.
Yeah, he's been going five innings, so you know, we can at least go there, maybe a little farther, see how the innings go. But you look at his numbers, what he's been doing, he's earned this. I mean, he forced it because we were thinking, okay, we'll bring him in spring training. He'll compete for a spot, but now with how he's throwing the ball, it's unreal. So we want him to get a little bit of time up here and you know, give him a chance to take away that unknown factor as he goes into spring training, you know, what it's like up here, what it's like to pitch up here and face major league hitters. So I'm looking forward to him.
Do you feel like the general idea is, I know he'll only get a handful of starts, but you'd like to pitch, he'd pitch well enough that you'd be like, we could probably put him in the rotation versus he has to win a spot in the rotation like you were talking about in spring training?
Yeah, well, the way he's throwing the ball, you're always going to keep it competitive. You can't ever take that away, especially with young players. You know, they don't have a lot of time up here, whatever. But still, you look at the body of work and you go, okay, you know, he's ready. And you got to, you know, believe that throughout the organization, and I think and that's how we all feel right now. Now you go to spring training, hopefully carries that into what he's been doing here this year. That's including Jack, all these young players, the Bradfords, and so you go to spring training, you have a good idea. Sometimes you have to adjust, things don't go well, and but I think this guy's showing that he's ready to pitch up here, and that's why he's here.
Rangers fans are very excited about DeGrom as well. Same kind of question in terms of, how long we might hope or expect to see him out there. What do you think are the possible expectations for DeGrom on Friday?
Yeah, I'd say around five innings, somewhere in there. Of course, the pitch count's always going to come into play around 60 or so. Could be a little more, but feels great. He's been throwing well, obviously, when you look at what he's been doing down there. So, it's going to be exciting to have Kumar to him, to Max the next day. It'd been nice to have these guys all year.
That feels like the story of the season, at least right there. Thank you very much, good sir. I know y'all's game's coming up in just a couple hours. We appreciate you making the time with us.
All right, let's get some hits and runs today.
There you go. Get Rangers.
Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, one of these days he's still going to be on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be like, did one of y'all say that several weeks ago?
I have a prediction that by the next time he's going to say go get Rangers as he gets off the phone with us. That's what I'm betting is going to happen, Kevin. I think he's going to be like, you know what? I've heard this kid say it so many times. I'm going to say it before he does. Okay. And when Kevin tries to bump me off air, because that's what you do. You're like, all right, now you get out of here, Boch.
And he's a game in a couple hours.
I understand that, but I think he's going to be like, all right, Kevin, go get Rangers. And we're going to be all excited and happy.
We'll see how that goes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway, which means AM on the FM. Plus, I will ask y'all all the football questions next on The Fan.
Carr throws. Did he hold on? Touchdown, Saints! Jawan Johnson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I am going to ask you all the football questions.
Oh, here we go.
Frequently, Mike will do that, but he is off on assignment trying to help the Rangers get more hits.
He's a very busy man while he's doing this stuff, too. So he doesn't have time to hop on and ask all the football questions.
And everything like that. Very,
I still
very
want my
busy.
Video of him going down the water slide at their hotel.
Okay.
So
yeah,
until that happens, I'm not letting him back in the studio.
Now, my first football question for y'all. Do you approve of the Dak Prescott extension? I had to go back and at least ask that because I know people are still talking about it.
I mean, not really.
Oh.
I have to approve at this point because there's nothing I can do to change it.
Fair.
But I was, Kevin, I've said this multiple times. I was already in that area where I was like, all right, we've had this much time with him. They haven't built a contender or a winner with him. And he's let me down enough times for me to say, I don't know that I want to continue attempting it with him. The window is smaller now to get multiple championships with him than it was before. And so I was ready to go find that next one. And granted, the Cowboys have been very lucky over the since Troy Aikman, I guess since getting Tony Romo, to be able to find those two quarterbacks. But it still, you know, hasn't gotten you the fruits that you wanted. And so I will say no because it's a lot of money. And a lot of portion of the pie. But again, they didn't have the leverage to change it. And I can't do much about that anyway for them.
Now, another Cowboys question for both of y'all.
But I will be rooting for him.
Of course.
From here on.
Of course. Do you think that Robert Kraft really was mad that Jerry Jones got into the Hall of Fame? So Don Van Natta Jr., who might exclusively write about the Cowboys, I'm not entirely sure, said that at the time, Robert Kraft told a friend he hasn't been to the NFC title game in 2 decades and he gets in. How does that work? And he said he called him P.T. Barnum and said he's the greatest marketer in the sport, but that a lot of other people were also mad that he got in, even though his team doesn't win. So do you believe that Robert Kraft and others were upset that Jerry Jones got into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I mean, I could totally, like, he and Arthur Blank didn't get along for a while, and that was a big factor when it came down to Roger Goodell, and Roger Goodell had to find lots of people to back him, and he did in the instance when it came to battling against Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry's contribution to the game and the amount of money they make now and the ability to market it, his contribution's enormous. I don't know why they would be so upset that he helped blaze the trail to get them the amount of money that they're making to this day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they would be upset about it other than maybe he's rubbed them the wrong way multiple times in those owners meetings, which I could see.
I think that a lot of people were mad, and I think it's kind of stupid for the reason that Corey said his contributions to the game outweigh anything recent in my mind. And I think that's a big reason why he got in earlier than some of these other owners is because he quite literally changed the game in different aspects and what he's done for the league. And look, I agree that if you're going to make it based on everything that was presented on the football field as an owner and general manager, sure, you have that right. But that's not the only thing that they're looking at when you talk about, did they make an impact on the game of football in the National Football League? He's made tons. So I think it's kind of short-sighted to be mad about it.
Yeah.
But you could be like, huh, that's funny. I won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, but, you know, I'm not going to get in for another 20 years if you're ex-owner. Sure.
Now, throw it to cut number 3, because that will lead into our next football question.
Back to throw, Watson on third down. Pressure up the middle of the line. Parsons has him now. Good coverage, because that was one where he was looking around.
Yeah.
And Parsons, who was close to play before, breaks through for his first sack.
Will the Cleveland Browns be good this season? I know they made the playoffs last year. They got beat down, gave up 6 sacks, couldn't get anything going on offense.
Well, according to a lot of people, once their 2 tackles come back, everything will be fine, even though those 2 tackles
both played
last year. Lot already.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get Deshaun Watson out of his own head. And so anybody that's saying, yeah, go ahead and start turning to Jameis Winston, then I agree with you there.
Wasn't that like the first call on some Cleveland radio station?
Yeah. Get rid of this guy. Let's go to Jameis. And they're like, no, we're not doing this. I would absolutely turn my attention there, but I also understand the risk that comes along with Jameis Winston, and that is he has big play ability. He has the locker room. Those guys still love Jameis Winston, but I also know that ball is going to get turned over, and he's going to make some bonehead plays that make you go, what did just happen? So it would be just as Cleveland as it gets for them to do that and for it to fail, considering didn't they list like 35 different quarterbacks they've had?
That was amazing. I tried to tell my wife that since 1999, and she was like, huh. She was not impressed by that statistic whatsoever. But I thought it was impressive. All right, guys, my next football question for both of y'all. You like the moniker, the Legion of Zoom.
No.
For the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
No.
Man, let me get to finish that question.
No. Have you ever seen the movie Zoom, though, with Tim Allen?
No. What is that?
He was like a former superhero that he was really fast. And there's like
Oh my gosh. Came out in 2006. Let's go to the tail of the tape. Audience rating, 33%. Critics rating, 4%. Which means I clearly have to go find these two critics out of 67 that gave, or I guess three, that gave it a positive
review. It's not great.
Here's the first one. It made me laugh. I don't know why. And that is an actual positive review.
So, again, check that movie out if you want to.
I might not.
Well, or do.
I just, could.
You've watched stupider movies.
That's for damn sure.
It's true. I know.
Have you ever seen Slacks with two X's?
Huh?
It's a good movie.
I would say I don't like it because it's too much, too similar to something that's already existed. So find some, like, you can come up with all sorts of different speed type ideas.
Let me juxtapose that movie Zoom against Slacks. This is a big disconnect. Slacks, 96% from the critics. Audience, 45%. So there's a big disconnect there. All right, Alec, Corey hated it immediately. You like the nickname, the Legion of Zoom, for the Chiefs offense.
I like the name, but I don't like putting it on them so early.
Yeah.
Like, it's been 1 week. Like, we've seen, like, it's kind of funny if you think about the Rashee Rice thing and you isolate that in a vacuum. Sure, haha. But, like, Xavier Worthy has played one NFL game. Rashee Rice, we don't know if he's going to be available for too much longer going into next season. There's already all kinds of issues there. I'm not ready to do it until they sustain this. Like, if Xavier Worthy is going to be a centripetal piece of that offense, just carrying the football after short passes and carrying it out of the backfield, sure, then we can kind of start integrating that into our everyday language, I guess. But right now, after 1 week of NFL football, I'm not ready to do that because the Legion of Boom won Super Bowls. Mm. Like, they made it to championships. They dominated the NFC. Like, we haven't seen that from this group of Chiefs yet.
If anything, Kevin, I would say call them the Central Expressway.
Yeah, except
isn't that where
it won't exist today.
Where Rice?
Sorry, that's true. But we also
I was talking about speeding on Central, Kevin.
Sorry, guys. Heads up, we got our expressway taken away today. All right.
Well, it's the Rangers' fault.
Football question: were you crushingly disappointed in the debut of Marvin Harrison Jr.? Bonus question: who do you blame that on?
Yes, I blame it on the offensive coordinator, and I blame it on Kyler Murray, not Marvin Harrison Jr. There were times when he was wide open, times when he had plenty of separation, and anticipation would have set up perfectly. So I do blame that on the coordinator, who now has already said, I have to do a better job of scheming plays open for him and making sure that he is looked at as one of the main targets. And it should have been on day one.
Alec, were you disappointed?
I was disappointed, and I blame it on perhaps too high expectations for week one. Because I do think that they're going to get it figured out, but this was not going to be an overnight success story. People don't remember that the Cardinals overall are still a pretty bad football team.
True.
So it's going to take a few weeks. And I think that you will start to see the triple digit receiving yards and a couple of scores in a game because he's going to quickly become their best player on the field. That's not the quarterback. So give it time. But I think week one rookie expectations are always way overblown.
You'll probably like this. I believe it was Fox Sports who said that Marvin Harrison Jr. will surpass Puka Nacua's numbers from last year. Now, again, it's just week one, so it could definitely happen. But a reminder that Puka Nacua last year had 105 receptions and 1,486 receiving yards, both new rookie records. Right now, Marvin Harrison Jr. on pace for a robust 17 catches for the season at 68 yards.
Not good.
I'm betting.
You're going to take the over?
I'll take the over on both.
That feels fair. Guys, my next football question for you. The Carolina Panthers and New York Giants will finish with the worst two records in the NFL this season.
I can't predict another team that would at this point. Just watching how poorly they were prepared for their first game of the year and how dominant the opponent was, even though I don't think the opponent's that great. Like, I'm looking at the Saints right now, Kevin. I'm like, hold on. This team's gonna like give the Cowboys a real run for their money, and then I go, oh yeah, it's Derek Carr. I don't believe in the Saints at all, but they made the Panthers look terrible. So I will say, yeah, those two teams finished dead last together.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Corey, you look at the box score and you're just like, oh, the Saints are for real. But if you go back and watch the game, you're just like, wow. The Panthers are worse than we made them out to be.
That's true.
We had an entire offseason. We had, 6 months to sit here and decide who's going to be the worst team in the NFL. And a lot of people said the Panthers, but we're like, yeah, they might start piecing things together. Young head coach, sure. Nope. They look worse than I could have imagined.
My next football question for you. Christian McCaffrey will miss this week's game for the 49ers as well. Kyle Shanahan said, we have to be very careful about Christian McCaffrey's Achilles tendonitis. Also, there's reports that there's no investigation for the 49ers. They're like, bah, you're good. Don't care. Is he going to miss the game again this week?
Two things. One, I hope so, because I have Jordan Mason on my fantasy squad, so I'll start. Because San Francisco can run against anybody. Two, we saw with Josh Young how long a calf injury can be problematic. And so, and as a running back, I want to make sure that dude is completely healthy in that spot, because I don't know if you know this or not, Kevin, but when you're walking or running, your calf is important. So I feel like he's gonna use it and exert his energy on it at some point.
Okay, first of all, Alec, do you agree that the calf is important when walking or running? And then my other question about Christian McCaffrey.
As a avid runner myself, I can say that the calf is very important, Corey.
Thank you.
Appreciate that validation in my thought process as well.
Good insight right there.
Yeah, and I do think that McCaffrey's going to miss the game, because we've seen this in recent history in pro sports where it was the, you know, ankle soreness, Achilles tendonitis that ended up turning into, we overworked it and he's out for a year. You don't want to overwork the workhorse and the all-pro running back that is Christian McCaffrey this early. And if we're going off of what Jordan Mason said, he was probably told 2 weeks ago that he was going to start week two. So,
yeah,
you know, this has probably been set in stone for a while.
All right. You got time for one more question?
Yeah.
One more football question. New NFL head coaches went 3-5 in the opening week. Jim Harbaugh won for the Chargers, Mike McDonald for the Seahawks, and Gerard Mayo for the Patriots. These will be the best three rookie coaches this season. Or I guess new coaches and new teams.
I'm not certain about Mayo, because I think the reality is they came out, mucked the game up real bad, really made it difficult for them to do anything, for the Bengals to do anything offensively, and said, we're going to run the ball. I think teams that know how to beat that are going to be capable of doing it. Okay. And Zach Taylor just could not figure it out during that game fast enough and ticked off Jamar Chase. The other two, though, I think stand a chance to have really good records there. So I'll say two of those three, but there's another one not named Mayo.
Alec, what say you?
Take that, Mayo. I will say, I'm going to say yes. I really like Gerard Mayo, and I think that they might just barely exceed expectations, but I think that this coaching cycle overall, the openings were not great,
well,
just as a whole.
To your point, your other options are the Falcons, the Panthers, the Raiders, the Titans, and the Commanders. So, as you could probably guess, not always the cream of the crop of jobs that become open.
Yeah, I'd listen to Titans and Commanders. I'd listen to that conversation. But overall, I do think that Mike McDonald probably ends up being the best out there. I think he's the best coach that got hired this offseason, period. So yeah. I think he's going to finish the year with the best record. So, yeah, I'd say those three finish pretty strong.
He's the dude that's saying, you got a friend in me? Is that... You got a friend.
That is Randy Newman.
Oh, gotcha. My McDonald.
What do you think that song's about?
It's about two toys that are best friends.
Can it involve people?
Two people that are best friends. Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some AM on the FM?
We got the question of the day and Cowboys guilty pleasures coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece.
And it's a draw to Elliott coming up the middle. 10-5, Elliott, goal line, touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Going to lead you all the way up to Rangers today. We'll turn it over to the pregame show at 2 o'clock. Then Cowboys Saints, remember, noon on Sunday and tomorrow. We're going to be at Shakerton's doing the show in Arlington if you want to come and see us.
Yeah, that's courtesy to our friends at Sagamore Rye, Sagamore Spirit Rye. We're going to be at Shakerton's in Arlington. I want to see everybody from Arlington there.
Agreed.
You know, remember that time, Kevin, we went to the World Series parade?
I do.
And all those people were there?
Yes.
Remember, we talked pretty much everybody there that day. And I want to see that kind of turnout tomorrow at Shakerton's.
Not sure what the capacity is for Shakerton's, but I would love to see.
700,000?
Let's do it. I would love to see the fire marshal.
Let's try. Yeah. What's the fire marshal going to do? You're going to be like, all right, guys, all y'all go home. No.
Chop the door down with an axe.
You're going to say, let's just party with them.
Now it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. You know what time it is. It's AM on the FM. We start with a question of the day, 877-881-1053, to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube as well. I want to hear from you. As I see on YouTube, there's a very spirited conversation about what my job title is.
Yeah, they're all trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah, and if I'm one of the night show hosts or not.
No.
Yeah, this is actually really entertaining to watch. I'm not even going to address it. I'm just going to let it keep brewing.
I want to address it.
Oh.
But this is your segment, so
Hey, if you want to address it, I'm giving you the platform before we get to the question of the day. Go for it.
It's your segment, man. You do your thing.
Oh yeah, I can control a segment on like 640.
Kevin, do you want to address it?
Alec is our producer.
Oh, okay. Full time?
Yeah.
Yes, allegedly. Respectfully.
No, not allegedly. It's done.
Is it done?
Yes.
Yes.
All
allegedly.
No, it's done.
Is it done?
It can still be undone with that attitude.
Don't let him treat you like that.
It's been done for a couple of weeks, yes.
Okay, good.
I just like saying allegedly and respectfully. Don't look at me, Jared. I see you looking at me. The question of the day today is actually based on something that was asked by Cowboys Social earlier today, and they put it out. I'm going to play the audio for you here in just a sec. What is your guilty pleasure TV show? 877-881-1053. Something that... you watch that, you know, it's probably not directed towards you, but you still enjoy it. You still have a good time watching it.
It is the television show Catfish. Now, as the years have gone on, they've kind of run out of stories to tell. But when that one lady's like, you shouldn't have told people I was a fat ass Kelly Price. I was in. And over the years, it has captivated my attention so many times.
I will say all of the, it doesn't matter. Either the Star Wars or Marvel Disney Plus stuff. I know some people don't like Moon Knight. Some people hated it. I'm fine.
I loved it.
Ms. Marvel, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. So all of those, I'm completely in on those. I bounce those up. And if people are like, oh, the Acolyte sucks. I'm like, I don't care. Just more of the story. Let me get into it. So I got after it.
I haven't seen that yet.
Don't do it. They canceled it.
Oh, okay.
I watched two episodes of The Acolyte, and I just... This series came out before I moved to y'all's show, so my schedule was still all kinds of random. Right. And I was like, I'm going to catch up sometime. The show ended, and like a week later, they're like, yeah, it's not coming back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I finish the show or do I not?
I needed to finish it. Yeah. There have been plenty of shows in my time, Kevin. I tell you this all the time where I'd stop watching. Walking Dead, stopped watching it like season 10. I was like, that's it. Y'all have done it enough. I'm done.
I wish I would have. They were like, this is the last season. And then it was in three parts.
Yeah.
What a dope.
See, I might break my typical habit of being a chronic completionist, because even when I start watching a show and I'm like two episodes in, this is terrible, I still finish the show. Like the one that comes to mind immediately, somewhat recently, maybe 2 years ago now, The Idol on HBO. That show was awful,
and
but I finished it.
So
still
bad that it was only supposed to be six episodes and they cut it down to five episodes. And they're like, no, it's always going to be five episodes. And people are like, hold on just a second. Was it? That show is the worst.
Yeah, it's really bad. And it somehow just won an Emmy a couple days ago as well.
For what? For most nudity?
Probably. It was outstanding choreography, I think.
Oh, okay, maybe.
So I'll give it that.
A lot of nudity. Check that show out.
A lot of really uncomfortable scenes.
Oh my God.
Yes. A lot of uncomfortable just innuendos and all that. Yeah. A lot of
ding
touchy.
Dong.
Yeah, there's some of that for sure. But I will say the soundtrack for it is immaculate. It was way better than it needed to be for that show. I had such high expectations because the music was so good. And then after literally 30 minutes into the first episode, I was like, this is awful. But for me, guilty pleasure show, honestly, it's because my dad watches a lot of these, and sometimes I'll just end up sitting on the couch with him and watching for like an hour. Cooking shows.
Oh,
even though I never use any of the recipes.
Doesn't
I never take notes. I never actually apply any of these to real life. But he'll be down there watching Food Network to get like new tips for when he's smoking his briskets and whatnot. And he's watching these Pitmaster shows. And I'm like locked in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is intense. Even though I know half of it is, you know, scripted out and all this beef that they have against each other. It's like, it's not real. I'm still into it because
food
it's
porn.
Like,
yeah. It's food porn.
That's pretty much what it is.
They're showing you something. You're like, that plate looks delicious.
Yeah.
And I could never make anything like that unless I tried really hard. And they make it look so easy. I do need to drop this real quick because somebody texted it in. From the 425, the correct answer is Emily in Paris. That is it for me.
Is that not how you're supposed to say
Emily
it?
Emily in Paris. Which what, somebody that works with us almost went on a date with the girl that the lead on that show.
Huh?
Yeah. No, he's been sitting right here all day. We need to talk. You need to ask him about that.
Huh?
Awesome story. I started watching that show. I don't even know why. I think Adrian was like, let's watch it. And I was like, okay. And then I got hooked into it. And now I'm like, they screwed me over this time. They gave us like four episodes and they're like, hey, we'll be back in October. And I was like, the hell are you doing right now?
They did that with Cobra Kai too.
It's dumb.
I don't like
it. Yeah, that's the one right there. I don't know. I don't even know why I like it, but I do.
From the 469 National Geographic shows, any kind of animal life shows. I used to love those growing up.
If it starts out,
yes.
Yeah.
I remember there was a show on, I want to say it was one of those kinds of channels. I don't remember which, but the Turtle Man, I watched him growing up, where he would just go catch all of these animals in Louisiana with his bare hands.
Aww.
It was great. It was great entertainment at like 8 years old.
Oh, I remember
Called
that
Wild
guy.
Man, I think is the name of the
show.
Yeah,
he had all his cameras.
Yes.
I do remember him eating turtle soup one day. Like, he caught a turtle, shelled it out, used the bowl as a bowl to cook the soup in.
Huh.
Yeah, it was disgusting looking, though.
From the 214, House Hunters International. My dad watches a lot of those, too, just so he can critique them and be like, that's an awful color.
I used to watch Flip or Flop a lot. And then there was a couple like buy it or list it or something like that.
What's the show where they show up at the flea market and they're like, here's some money and you got to sell all your stuff before, you know, like 2 or 3 hours are up. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name. I've seen this show.
And they always buy like a chair and they're like, I can fix this.
And then at the end, a dude comes out and plays the bass wearing a sock.
No, that is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
not Flea Market.
That's a person, not a thing.
Is it Flea Market Flip?
Might be.
Maybe.
I remember I watched Storage Wars a lot growing up, too. I don't know why I liked it so much, but as a kid, it was so intriguing, the concept of buying other people's stuff without them knowing. was just like amazing to me. I'm like, wow, you can do that? That doesn't feel legal. I'm going to do that when I'm older. And now I'm 23. I'm like, I would never do that. That's dumb.
Flea market flip. Thank you, everybody.
This is from Cowboys Social.
Sir,
not Corey.
This is just various Cowboys players admitting or passing on the question. It was a sponsored bit with Rico's cheese, you know, the nacho cheese company.
Yes.
So they can say it's nacho business if they don't want to admit it. So you'll hear a few players just kind of pass on it. But here's some of your Dallas Cowboys guilty pleasure shows.
What's your guilty pleasure TV show?
Nacho business.
Guilty pleasure TV show. Martin.
Oh, that's awesome. That's an easy one. Right now, it's Love Island, because I just love the banter.
It's not your business. It's not your business.
Game of Thrones right now.
This is a regular good
thing. Nah, not your business. Not your business. I hate to say it, but iCarly. Hey, it's a good show.
What's your guilty pleasure TV show?
Bridgerton.
Dexter?
Guilty pleasure is like, I'm supposed to be watching it.
Not your business.
So a few people passing on it, but the iCarly mention was great.
Do you think they're watching old iCarly or like the new version of it?
I would hope the old one, okay. Because that's what, probably 15 years old, 12 years old?
I've not seen the new version of
it. I have not either. And I will watch it because iCarly was a staple of my childhood. So it will be consumed in the Medford household soon. But the iCarly mention there, that hit home for me. I appreciate that.
My Brandon loved that show. Like, loved that show.
It was hilarious. I still reference that show almost as much as I reference SpongeBob as a grown man.
Ooh.
Almost as much. Gibby was an elite character in American television. He was awesome. So that's my time. Thank you, guys.
There you go. AM on the FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
The rookies that showed out the best. And have you ever felt sorry for your opponent? What did you do? Next on The Fan.